Psalms 92. I want to read a verse this morning and try to get started. And I have several things that I'll cover over the next several weeks and try to give you a little bit of a overview of what we'll look at over the next several weeks. And I wish y'all would really pray that the Lord would help us as a church and help me as I teach, but help us together as we go through these things. And some of these things that I'll cover is things that we know that we need to be reminded of, things that we sometimes easily let slip in our own personal lives that's very important. And I believe that you'll see as we go through the scripture that this subject is very relevant and very near to the heart of God and should be in our life as well. Psalms chapter 92, the Bible said in verse number 1 that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So we could say that giving thanks to the Lord is a good thing. But then he used the coordinating conjunction of the word and not only says that it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, but it's also a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So it's a good thing to give thanks, and it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord. But if you will look, I believe that you will find music can be a very good thing, but it also can be a very bad thing.
Right.
If it's not held in its perspective in a godly manner, that it can be a very bad thing. It is said of some of the groups, and I want to be very careful not to say things or bring things into the house of God that have no place being there. And we'll deal with some things that maybe on the third week about the problems associated with music. But let me say this morning, that you can be okay only knowing what is right. You don't have to know what is wrong to know what is right. If you study the Bible and you learn the things that are right, you'll have no problem recognizing that which is wrong.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with only knowing what's right.
Right.
And so we'll look at the problems. But it was said of some of the groups of the past, the well-known groups that were in the era of music, that they changed the culture, the lifestyles, the hairstyles, the clothing styles, and the attitudes of the generation that existed with their music. That is said, that is not said from preachers. That has been said from individuals that had nothing to do with God, have made those statements. The New York Times states that teenagers will listen to, on average, about 2.5 hours of music per day, and that 1 in 3 modern popular songs contains explicit reference to drugs or alcohol use. That means somewhere between 12 to 15 songs per day the average teenager is listening to contains very explicit references to drugs and alcohol. It has been said that unlike visual media, that music is a powerful social force that also taps into an individual's personal identity, their memories, and their moods. You say, well, Brother Josh, well, how many of you, before you got saved or growing up and dating, you could hear songs and you think back in those days and time, you say, oh, that was our song. That was something that we listened to constantly. That was the song that me and my girlfriend, my wife now, enjoyed when we were growing up. It affects memories. It affects your mood. It affects personal identity. Music, this is said of the New York Times, is well known to connect deeply with adolescents and to influence identity development, perhaps more than any other entertainment medium. Many have said of this, and I believe that the Word of God is the most powerful thing upon the earth. But many have said in the social realm that music is the most powerful thing that exists upon the earth. And I don't believe it's the most powerful, but I believe that it is very powerful. You think about this, if you were to study the life of Satan and look at his beginning and his revolt and rebellion against God, in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible said, speaking of Lucifer, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. This word vials is speaking of stringed instruments, and it is very much believed that Satan possibly was the leader of worship in heaven. And what better thing for Satan to use to get to people than the thing that he is very good at, the thing in which that he was created to do. Many young people have said in regard to the problems that they have found themselves in spiritually, that many times that their problems have began with listening to the wrong kind of music. Now, I know it's a matter of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. But music is very powerful. Music, by definition, is a combination of rhythm and melody, of which harmonious sounds and words can be added. So you can have music actually without words. You have to have melody and you have to have rhythm. If either of those two things are missing, then it does not by definition fall into music. That's why you look at the rap music and those types of things. It's not music. It has no melody to it. Has nothing to it at all other than ungodly lyrics and words. But music by definition is rhythm and melody, of which harmonious sounds and words can be added. The first mention of music is seen in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 21. The Bible speaks of a man there by the name of Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Jubal's name, it means this. It means a stream, or it means to flow. His name also means to lead or to conduct. So all the way back in the very beginning, these instruments were mentioned in Genesis chapter 4. They were stringed and wind instruments that God allowed this man to have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to be able to create them and to be able to use them and to be able to conduct and to lead people in music. So the next several weeks, we're going to look at several aspects about music. We're going to talk this morning about the purpose of music, the priority of music, and the place of music. Next week, Lord willing, we will look at the power of music, the playing of music, and the practicing of music. Then in lesson 3, we're going to look at the presentation of music, the problems of music, and then in lesson number 4, we're going to look at the penning of music, and we're going to talk about some of the people of music. So that's, Lord willing, going to be what we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks. Let's talk this morning about the purpose of music. What is music actually for? Now, let me say this, and I don't want to get caught up trying to say things to explain what I mean by what I say. But the most important thing that will happen in this church today will be the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And I don't in any way want to downplay that or make it seem that that will be the most important thing that will happen here this morning. But the preachers also preached about balance and how that God has laid things out in a balanced way in the Word of God. And that is where this thing of music falls in. The purpose of music, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The purpose of music. We see that music is used in the Word of God for inspiration. It is used to inspire, and it is used as praise unto God. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, the Bible said, after the temple had been made and had been built and it was being dedicated, the Bible said in verse number 13 of chapter 5 that it came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Then verse number 1 of chapter 6, then said Solomon, the Lord hath said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, and so on and so forth. And there you will see, I believe, the pattern in which God has laid things out in the church service. You see, the music takes place, the presence of God avails itself, and then you will see after that takes place, the inspiration of the music, you will see the instruction from the Word of God is given. And that is the way that God has laid it out. Now, what is the purpose of music? Music is a form of praise and worship to God. The word sing and the word praise all throughout the book of Psalms are interchangeable.
Yes, sir.
You will find the word sing and the word praise carry the same definition, and many times the same Hebrew word
Amen.
Is used for sing and for praise.
Right.
So what is the purpose of music? The purpose of music is to praise God. It is a form of praise unto God. I thought about this. You think about some of the songs that have been written and some of the songs that have been sang. And I'll close out with this question. The songs that we use and the songs that we sing, is it something that you think we might sing in heaven? That will be what I will close all of this lesson out. I want you to leave with that thought. Would you, the songs you listen to, the songs you sing, the songs you like, do you think they will be songs that will be sang in heaven? We used to sing a song around here, and I know things have been found out about the individual that wrote it, but the song we used to sing was Thank You for Giving to the Lord. And I understand the things that were written about the song and the meaning behind the song, and sometimes it's good to look at those that God has used in your life. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to be singing about thank me for giving to the Lord
right.
and giving some money in the offering plate
right.
and helping out in missions. And God, yes, I know we'll be reunited with people we've never seen. But I'm going to tell you, when we get in heaven, it's probably going to be more like praise Him, Jesus,
Amen.
Our blessed Redeemer,
Amen.
Sing, O earth, His wonderful love
Amen.
For fame. That's what the music is all about,
yes.
praise. It is worship unto God. It is an opportunity in which we can open our mouth, open our lips, and worship and praise God from our lips.
Amen.
That is what it means. This is why we sing as to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says that all of those things that we are to do, and one of the things is that we are singing spiritual songs. And he goes on down and he said, all these things, you are to do them as to the Lord. Because it is Him that we are singing to. It is Him that we are lifting up. The book of Psalms is filled with it. Listen to this. Psalms chapter 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalms 21:13. Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise Thy power. Psalms chapter number 30 and verse number 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee, and be not silent, O Lord. I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalms chapter 33 verse 2. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Psalms 57 verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise constantly throughout the Word of God. You cannot separate singing from praise. The purpose of music is praise. If you don't get that,
Amen.
You don't understand that, you'll not understand or get anything else that's said. It's about praise unto God. And the reason why that most singing and music that is going on in our nation is not having any effect spiritually in the life of people is because it has absolutely nothing at all to do with God.
Amen.
Singing. The purpose of music is praise. Let's talk this morning a little bit about the priority of music. How important is music? Well, if you look back at 2 Chronicles chapter 5, in verse number 13 again, the Bible said that the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praise the Lord. Now, here it is. Praise, the purpose of music is saying to praise the Lord. That they began to sing, for the Lord, He is good. His mercy endureth forever. That's what they were singing. That's what they were saying when they were praising the Lord. It says that then, it was at that point, when they began to praise God by singing, that the Spirit and the cloud, the Lord's presence came down and filled the temple.
Man.
So how important is music? You will see here that this music preceded the presence of God availing itself in the midst of the people. In Lamentations chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jeremiah is writing and he is lamenting and he is weeping and he is crying. And the reason that he is because the young men, Brother Wells, have lost their song. The whole reason that Jeremiah was crying, the sin that had taken place, he had named the whoredoms that had been committed. He had named the idols that had been set up. And right in the midst of all of those things that he was naming, he said, one of the things that has happened that is just as bad to me and makes me weep just as much as idols that have been set up was the fact that the young men no longer had a song. The priority of music, the presence of God many times in the Word of God was preceded by singing. Before God moved in, and when God began to move and work, it was during a time in which biblical praise and singing was taking place.
Man, right.
That's why it's important that you have a song before you get up and sing a song.
Amen.
That's why it's important that you got a song in here.
Amen.
Before you ever get up there with the song. Because God is looking at this as praise. You should do everything that you can to protect the song that God has given you. Brother Biddle has said many times that you cannot build a church upon singing. And he's went on to say that you can't build much of one without singing. And he's made this statement several times in this pulpit. He has said that God, everyone that he has saved, he has given them a song. He said, now he may not have given you a tune, but he has given you a song. He's put a new song in our mouth. And I believe that there are two things that are after your song. The first thing that is after your song this morning is discouragement. If the devil can get things in your life and things in your view, you see, whenever you're singing and you're singing is praise unto God, the only thing that is in view is God.
Right.
And the only thing that can take that song or keep God from being in view is when you allow things that are taking place in your life to become bigger than the God is that you're serving.
Amen.
And if I get up to sing and you get up to sing and all we see is God high and lifted up,
amen,
you'll have no problem singing out and singing and it be praise unto,
amen,
God. But discouragement is after your song. The battles you're facing, the problems you're having, financial, the problems you're having with your family, the problems you're having with relationship, all of those things are in battle and war against the song that God has placed inside of you. The other thing I believe that is battling against your song or that can take your song is defilement. It's sin. You allow sin in your life, you don't feel like singing. You allow things in your heart to allow to take your view off of God, off your Christianity and your walk with God. And you will see people that will get up and give it lip service. And there will be no smile on their face. There will be no brightness in their countenance. There will be nothing in them that will want you to hear anything they have to say because of defilement. Psalms chapter 137, the Bible speaks about the song that God has given us. Turn over there real quick. Let me show you this. Psalms 137. In speaking of discouragement. They sit down by the rivers of Babylon in verse number 1. They hang their harps on the willow in verse number 2. Verse number 3, they talked about being carried away in captivity. Verse number 4, they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They had lost their song. But now go over to Psalm chapter 40. Turn back a few pages. I want you to think about this. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Shall see what? What are they going to see? The praise unto your God. Where's the praise unto your God coming from? The new song. So people can see your song. Or your lack of a song. You look up at the choir and you can see whether somebody has a song or not. And when you look and you see no song, then you begin to question, preacher, have they ever been brought up out of a horrible pit? Is it discouragement? Is it defilement? Or is it the fact that you've never met Jesus at all? Because Jesus gives everybody that He brings up out of the pit a song.
Amen.
And He said that song is praise unto God. Amen. And He said many will see that. He didn't say they'd hear it. He said they would see it.
Amen.
And they would fear, the Bible says.
Amen.
So your song can be seen.
Yes, sir.
So should there be a priority put on music? That's my point. The priority of music. How important is it this morning? The presence of God many times was preceded by singing. The priority of music. Let me say this real quick before I move on. It is a sad thing to see someone lose their song. Brother Wells, we were talking the other day and he made this statement. I think we were up at the preacher's several weeks ago and Jamie was talking about hearing some songs of the choir from years ago and how rough it sounded and tinny and all those things. And Brother Wells said, yeah, I said, you're right. It didn't sound just right. And we may not have had everything down just right. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, we were giving it all we had.
Amen.
It is a sad thing to see people lose their song.
Amen.
When you look in someone that once has sang, and I'm not talking about the fact that they got up in the choir, but I'm talking about people, when you look at them and there's something in here that is coming out here and you know that they're lifting up God and you see that is gone, you see it is diminished, it breaks my heart.
Amen.
It breaks my heart. The priority of music. The Bible said, Psalms chapter 22 and verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel.
Amen.
Singing is praise. And the Bible said that God inhabits the praise of His people. This word inhabit, it means to remain. It means to dwell. It means to abide in. It means to sit down or to stay. That's what it means.
Amen.
So God inhabits the praise of His people. I've been in churches. I've been in places when things were seemingly not a lot was going on. Maybe a little bit of oppression and just seems like things where we call it tight. I don't know. You know, we have all these terminologies that we use, but just tight in the service. And somebody get up with a song in their heart, even praise unto our God, and to start singing forth. I remember as a little bitty kid being at camp meeting in South Carolina. Preacher, I remember Brother Billy Kelly got up and began to sing, and I'm talking about God moved in that place. People began to worship and to praise God. And it seemed like the meeting just came open and God began to work. God inhabits. He comes down. He abides in and dwells in the praise of His people.
Amen.
And whenever there's nothing, and well, you don't have to shout every time a song is. Some songs are made to think. We'll talk about the different types of songs. Some songs are made to make you think.
Right.
Some songs are made to lift you up. Some songs are written that they might convict you and make you search yourself. I mean, there's all types of songs. You don't have to shout every time. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever singing starts taking place and it's dead and there's nothing going on, it makes me wonder if they're really singing to the Lord, about
Amen.
The Lord, if it has anything to do with the Lord at all.
Amen.
Because God said that He inhabits, He dwells in, remains in, He sits down in the praise of His people.
Amen.
People have made fun of this church because they said, well, I've heard that people even got saved when singing was going on at that church. But one man said, God shows up.
Amen.
When God is being praised, He can be lifted up in singing and testimony. He can be praising the offering. He can be praising the preaching.
Yes.
God can move whenever He wants
Amen.
To, however He wants to. And there have been people got saved here while singing was going on.
Amen. Amen.
Because God's presence is made manifest. He inhabits the praise of His people. I'll give you one more thought and we're done. The place of music. Where should singing take place? We know the priority of music. God puts a very high value upon music when it is done properly because it's praise. We know the purpose of music is praise unto God. What about the place of music? Where are we to sing at? When is music in order and when is it not in order? I thought about this. I was thinking about last Sunday we came in here. We sang one congregational and the preacher preached for almost 2 hours. And many times if you look at the Old Testament and the prophets, there wasn't much singing going on. Because there was a whole lot of sin and defilement things taking place.
Right.
And they would just come in. They would preach judgment and go to the house and pray that God would send them mercy.
Man.
It's exactly what would take place.
Yes, sir.
But when things were in order,
yes.
you will see that every time that when things were in order, singing would take place.
Amen.
And then God's word would be manifested. So when is singing in order? Where is singing in order? Where's the place of music? Well, in Exodus chapter number 15, Moses and the children of Israel are singing as they're coming out into the desert as they have just been delivered from the hand of the Egyptians.
Amen.
So I could say this morning that if you're in the middle of a desert, that singing can be in order there.
Amen.
It don't matter if you're in the middle of the desert.
Yes.
Then they got, the Bible said that they just burst forth into singing about the mighty power of the hand of God to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. So in Exodus 15, they're in the desert. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 54, the Bible said, Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Songs here were sang at home. So now he said, in the house of my pilgrimage, in my dwelling place, where I lived at, he said, every day there's songs being sung here. They're walking around whistling a tune, singing a song to God. So where are songs in order at, Brother Keith? I believe they're in order at the kitchen when you're in there making food. I believe a song could be in order when you're just working around the house, whatever you're doing, maybe mowing the grass. Maybe you're weed eating. Maybe you're doing something around the house. I believe that music can be in order right there.
Amen.
Because it's praise unto our God.
Amen.
So he said in the desert they were singing. He said at the house they were singing. Bible said in Isaiah 38 verse 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord.
Man.
The Bible says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. So music is in order in the house of God.
Man.
It's fine if you're in the desert. It don't matter if you're at the house or if you're in the house of God, music is in order.
Man.
Now, let me ask you this question. Just a second ago, we started out with the chorus and we were simply just saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And I looked across the congregation just to see what I could see while people were singing those words, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." We're singing now. We're in church. I mean, I think we all realize that. We're in that. This is the house of God.
Amen.
This is the place where God said, if two or three would gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, we think about that and we think that that means that two or three have got to come together, and that means that God's going to be in the midst. But I believe that that could be maybe more of a declaration. Because when two or three have gathered together in His name, then God is the one that's in the midst. He's the center of attention. He's the center of attraction. And everything of people that have gathered together in His name, it revolves and it's all about Him being in the middle. So I look around and I see two or three people, you know, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul," and a smile on their face and the hand in the air and praising God. But for the most part, most of us are just saying words.
Right.
It's not praise.
Amen.
I told Brother Wells the other day, I said, I wonder what would happen if maybe me and my family and a couple other families stood out in the front of the church about 9:45 in the morning or 9:30, a little before prayer room, and we just gathered around that little thing back in the back that's put up there with those words, and we all just started singing that song about coming into God's presence, and we're wanting to praise Him, and we are coming to worship Him, and we have met to worship. I wonder what would happen if we just gathered back there and we just sang that walking into the house of God. Because it's about praise.
Right.
And when you look at people and they're singing and they're in the house of God where God is to be high and lifted up, everything that's going on, we say in this place, it's all about Him.
Amen.
But we're singing and our faces are
right.
Blank. Our eyes are blank. There's no thought about what we're saying.
Right. Amen.
This is, songs are in order in this place.
Amen.
Music.
Amen.
Is in order in the house of God. Bible said in Hebrews 2:12, saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." You ever see somebody get up in testimony service and start singing a song? Now we would consider a testimony praise.
Yeah.
But I've seen people get up in a testimony service and just start singing out.
Right.
Praise.
Man,
praise. Psalms 149, verse 1. Songs were sang in the house of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 22. You see, they sang in the middle of the battle. They're out there now. They're getting ready to go to war. Jehoshaphat and all of them are down there, and the Lord said, "Hey, you don't need no swords." The man of God tell them, "You don't need anything." He said, "When you just get down there, you start singing a song and God will take care of the rest." I'm going to tell you something this morning. The preacher has said it many times that there's sometimes that the only way you can get through things is to praise your way through.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you're going through a hard time. You're going through problems in your life. If you could get a song on your heart, you would be surprised how much peace and joy that God can give you in the midst of that.
Amen.
There have been times, preacher, that I've been low, that I've been down, that I've been discouraged, that I've tried to pray, and it seemed like I couldn't pray, but there would just be some words to a song that was written, a biblical song that came out of the Bible that God would put on my heart. Maybe I couldn't pray, seemed like, but I'd go throughout the day and I'd sing them words and say them words and I'd sing unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you to help me through.
Amen.
Music, when you're in the middle of the battle, it'll work there too.
Amen. Amen.
It's in order. Acts chapter number 16 and verse 25. Midnight.
Yeah.
Paul and Silas have been locked up. They've been beat for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So music was in order in the middle of the jail.
Man.
Here they are locked up and bound for preaching and doing the will of God. And at the middle of the night, the darkest point of their life, the Bible said they prayed and they sang. They didn't get up and sing, "Woe is me." They didn't sing about how bad I got it, how bad things are. "Lord, why did you, oh Lord, why me? Why has this happened to me? Why am I locked up in jail? Oh God." What did they sang? Praise unto God. Beat, abused, bleeding. And they sang praise to God in the middle of the jail. What I'm trying to say this morning is that music is praise.
Amen.
And there is no place, no time, no situation in which God does not deserve to be praised.
Amen.
So it don't matter if you're at home, in the church, wherever you're at, lift your voice up and sing. In the congregational, I know some people can't sing that love to. They do not have the talent, if you will, to be able to sing very well. I'm that way. I can't sing well at all. I like to sing. I wish I could sing. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you sing, I don't have time to get involved in everything, but if you look in this Bible, some of those words, sings, it means to strike with the hands. He said, there's sometimes the Bible said you sing with an instrument. How do you do that? Because it's not necessarily about the voice, and we'll talk about that. I mean, there's a lot involved in that. But it's about praise. And it means to strike with the hands. It's speaking of stringed instruments. And he said, you sing with the instrument by striking it with your hand. He didn't say you tap on it. Preacher just read that you sing loud. He didn't say you tap. He didn't say you play around with it and you gum around with it and you know, I'll get up. You ever heard people say, "Well, I'll just get up. Well, don't listen to the way. We're just going to try to just do as good." No. David played skillfully. They practiced. We'll look at all that. But the whole thing about this is it's praise to God. And it don't matter where you're at. Praise is always in order. So I ask you the question this morning. The songs you sing, the songs you listen to, the songs you like, you think we'll sing them in heaven? Because it's all about Him. It's praise to Him. You think they'll be sung in heaven? You think they could be? Maybe we won't, but do you think it would be okay if they were sang in heaven? The priority of music, purpose of music, the place of music. Music is near and dear to the heart of God when it's done properly. Because God inhabits, He sits down and dwells in the praise of His people.